Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of Philippians today. So in the New Testament, find the big books of 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then you'll find Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. He was in prison at the time. And I think you'll find through the reading of Philippians, you'll find themes such as joy and unity. For the gospel's sake. All right, we're going to be reading Philippians 1 and 2. I will make some devotional pauses, some applicational thoughts, and then close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul's writings by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Philippians. And Lord, I pray that as we read the first two chapters now, that you would help us to understand what we are to learn and how we are to apply this to our lives to better honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Pause there for a moment just to mention that in Paul's prayers, it's very interesting. He doesn't typically pray for the things we pray for. It's not wrong for us to pray for people's health. He does sometimes mention people's health. It's not wrong for us to pray for health in safety and travel. He sometimes will mention his desire to travel. But most of all, he prays for spiritual growth in the midst of whatever it is. And it's very instructive for us, for me, that is the main content of his prayer, no matter whatever else is going on. He's in prison and he's praying for the spiritual growth. And he's also thanking God for them. Verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. So he doesn't care. You know, people were slamming him all the time, and I'm sure people within his group were slamming other people. But his main thing was, listen, if the gospel is being preached, all the other stuff doesn't matter to me. Verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. So here in chapter 1, part of what Paul's doing is just saying how important the gospel is to him. Living for Christ is everything. He will be with Christ when this short life is over. And until then, he's going to live in joy and faith. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this is a credible passage here. Taking a pause here after verse 11, you know, he's talking about having unity with one another, putting others above yourself. And then he gives this incredible section here about Jesus as our example. He's God, and yet he becomes man. He puts others above himself. He dies for us, and then he will be exalted and is exalted by God. And one day every knee will bow. What an example. Verse 12, therefore, okay, based on Jesus' example, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, and you, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on that day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Love that section. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. Why? So that we could have a good testimony for the gospel. That's what unity is all about. Verse 18 or verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. So Paul talks about his co-workers, Timothy and Epaphroditus, praises them too. This group of believers. And that's how he ends this chapter, and that's the end of our reading for today. Well, again, there's a lot here, so you could take several things here. I would encourage you to determine what God brings to your heart and how to apply it. For me, I think it's the emphasis on unity. To be able to follow Christ's example, to set my desires and rights aside for the good of another because of the gospel. I need to do that myself, and as a pastor, I need to hold that as a high standard for others. Churches are ruined when people refuse to be unified through the gospel and go their own way. And it breaks my heart anytime that happens. So that's my application for today. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, there's so much here, but I'm especially drawn to your example, the example of your son, Jesus. That's why I have salvation, why I have this incredible, true, sure hope, guarantee of my future. And Lord, I want to have that kind of humble attitude. Help me to set aside myself for others, and help me to lead as a pastor, Father, in unity for the gospel. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.